This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Sumich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two, Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Sumich on a Sunday. Hour number one came with a lot of bets. We're sweating. You got to join us in hour number one on Sundays. That's the thing. So like
you
got to be here for hour number one because we get the early first pitches, Mike. And so like we got to get to everything early on in the show. Mm-hmm. This isn't one of those on Saturday where half the first pitches are coming way later. It's fine. You got plenty of time to sit around. We'll review everything that we're doing. That can't be the case on Sundays. You got to be here right at the beginning of the show on Sundays.
This is appointment television right here, yes. Appointment radio, whatever you want. If you want to get those bets in, because hopefully we cash our first bet of the show during this segment, Matt. We are back to the top half of the second. We need one Weathers K. Birdsong only struck out one in the bottom half of the first. So just one K in the second here. Cash our race to three Ks. We already got some runs in the Red Sox game. We've already got a run in the Athletics Blue Jays game. A lot of bets in the early account there. They're starting to pan out a little bit for us. Hopefully we can get a couple more in if you're listening out there during this segment.
Yeah, too bad I didn't do a Josh Smith bet instead of Corey Seager, as Seager has started 0-for-2 there. Smith 2-for-2 in that game for the Rangers, and they are up 2-to-1 on the Cardinals. Of course, they go into that one as very big favorites because Jacob deGrom is on the hill. After a shaky first inning, he settled down a little bit over there, though. Kind of uncharacteristically, a couple more walks than strikeouts so far here in this one for DeGrom, but he's getting it done, Mike, at least for now. 2-to-1 in favor of the Rangers. 3-to-1, though, over there, Boston and the Braves, so a game that you were watching, looking for 9 runs in that one. We got 4 in the first.
Yeah, nice to get off to the hot start there. We got the over 8, I believe it's. Yeah, over 8 in that game. So need 9 to cash, 8 to push. So nice to get 4 out of the way early. Clutch 2 out, bases loaded double from Story there in the top half of the first. It feels like when you're playing these overs, Matt, and really when you're playing a side 2, it's the 2 out hits that are the really important ones, right? Because if we've got the over and bases loaded top of the first with 2 outs and you get 0 out of there, you're feeling terrible about your bet. You get 3, you're feeling great. It's those very, very key moments in these games that decide whether or not these totals go over or under.
You ran pure, too, because Story has been the stink. Like, he has been horrible. So you're running good, dude. He's been so bad. Like, they were just talking about, like, they're praying that he just goes on, like, a 2-week absolute dumper, and then they can just bench it. Yeah, they're like, praying that it happens in Boston, but... not today, and good for you that did not end up happening. First pitch coming in about 8 minutes. Got the Rays and the Astros. Taj Bradley, Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown and the Astros are -166 home favorites here, +140 for the Rays and Bradley on the road. 7.5 is our total. Of course, the news, hadn't had it for a while, but just the news, Yordan Alvarez looks like he's going to be out a while there for the Astros for this team. And again, in a division that, Mike, you know, as we sit right now, kind of wide open. I mean, we were sitting there talking to JVT about the Angels and like, yeah, you know, a little bit disappointing here and there. They went on that run and now they kind of settled back in. And then you look and go, oh, but even with that, they're only 5 games out of first place because of the way this division is.
Yeah, we gotta interrupt this regularly televised program here, Matt. Weathers K number 3. Put it on the board, baby. So first winner of the day there. Rays Astros. Kind of want to play the over here. It's another one where I feel like it's just a little bit too low sitting at 7.5. I couldn't quite get in the account. I thought this was going to be 8.25. So again, surprised we're sitting here at 7.5. Hunter Brown has been phenomenal for this Astros team, but Taj Bradley has not been great for this Rays team. And both of these offenses are capable of putting up 4, 5, 6 runs inside of a game. So it really comes down to what do you expect from Hunter Brown? Because I do think the Astros get their 4 in this spot. Do you think that Hunter Brown can shut down the Rays? I didn't like it enough to get it in the account, but I do have a pretty heavy lean here toward the over, Matt.
Incredibly brutal, and I mean brutal, brutal start yesterday. Oh, I should say result for Derek Skubal. He's phenomenal. Can't get the win. I mean, not that we care about wins anymore in baseball. Thank goodness. I mean, like, thank God we got past the whole wins thing, Mike. I mean, like, it's like... what can a pitcher do? Yeah, I mean, what can a pitcher do? He did every single thing he could possibly do yesterday. He can't step in the batter's box and go get it across. And so end up losing the game 1-0. Well, here we come running this thing back again today. Keeter Montero is going for the Tigers, Chris Bubich for the Royals. And because Bubich is going for the Royals, minus 162 at home for this Royals team, plus 136 for the Tigers on the road. 8.5 is our total here in this one. Another one that just missed the account for me. If you're playing like a afternoon session DFS contest or something, Mike, I had a pretty heavy lean towards Bubich over 17.5 outs. He's just got to get me to six innings. And if you look, I mean, this guy's been very efficient. He's been very, very good. And you and I've talked at ad nauseum here at this program about how much we just don't love this Tigers offense right now. They're just not hitting on a consistent basis. And I think Bubich getting through six innings in this one is pretty highly likely. I don't know why I didn't go ahead and pull the trigger on all that, but pretty heavy lean to the over on the outs for him.
Yeah, I agree with you. Bubich's underlying numbers very good in this spot as well. You could look at Tigers' first five team total under 2.5 runs as well if you want to get on the Bubich train. That's another way to attack this one for a Tigers offense that has been struggling. So I like your look at outs if you want to take that over. I would lean toward the under 2.5 runs for the Tigers first five, but you're going to end up paying minus 140-ish from a juice perspective if you do go that direction. So it's just kind of deciding how you want to attack Bubich against a good favorable matchup today in the Tigers.
Just a little snapshot here of what you're getting in Bubich, just kind of moving forward. If you hadn't paid attention to the Royals from a betting standpoint, this is a dude, he's made 11 starts. So we've got a decent sample size considering we've only, you know, only a couple months into the season here, Mike. Yes, he's not 145, 1.01 whip guy that we see right now in the surface stats, but he is 283 xERA. He is 337 xFIP. And what you can't argue with is 14% swinging strikes, 26% K rate, and just that comes with just a 7% walk rate as well for him. And I mean, this is... I think Bubich is the real deal. Like, I think this is a guy that has figured some stuff out over the last couple of years. And yeah, he got knocked around a lot early on in his career, but boy, I think he's really started to figure stuff out. Still just 27 years old. And you look at how he has changed things from a pitch perspective, Mike, I'm working a little bit more up in the zone a little bit, which is, you know, a few more fly balls, but that said, his stuff is so good. They're not really squaring it up. I like betting Bubich starts, I think, moving forward. Certainly something to look at.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. I mean, the 1.5 ERA, not sustainable, obviously. Yeah. But that 1.01 whip is. Yeah. 70 Ks, just 20 walks. That's very good. You mentioned the swinging strike percentage. That's what you need from underlying stats to be able to support a one whip. And we'll call it a 2.75-3.0 ERA. If he ends up somewhere in that range, it's a very good season for Bubich and someone that you can make money betting on as well. Obviously, the ERA is going to regress at some point. He's not going to have a 1.5 ERA for the season, but the underlying stats do support a very good pitcher. And you mentioned it, someone that was thought of when he went through the minor leagues, couldn't quite figure it out. Now at 27, looks like he is.
Yeah, I like what I've seen so far in him. A guy that anytime he's on the hill, I like to at least look and see what kind of number we're getting today. A little bit too far on all of that, but a better opponent, and we will be able to take advantage of that. We just got off with JBT. I haven't gotten your thoughts here about how you are going to definitely look at this from a game-to-game basis. I know you have the game one and the series price, but is there a... I know everyone's going to... We're going to hear the whole zigzag theory thing. We're going to hear all of that nonsense and whatever and all as we go on. Like, I mean, dude, Oklahoma City's just the better team every single time they step on the court. It doesn't matter, right? I mean, they're the better team every single time that they step on the court. I don't want to bet the sweep. It's only plus 260. I mean, like, that's a problem. Like, this, the sweep's only plus 260. So I can't get there with that. I'm really struggling how to do this.
Yeah, here's the problem, Matt. OKC should be this big of a favorite, right? And that's what really makes it hard to bet this series is that I don't really want to come in the Pacers at 5-1, at 4.5-1, whatever number you're getting there. But I also agree with you, plus 260, plus 270 for in four games and five games, not a big enough price for me to really get excited about this. I think the play for me here is I agree with JVT. I think the over in game one's a little interesting, sitting at 230.5 right now. I do think this is going to be a Thunder team that's willing to run with the Pacers. I think that also helps out guys like Chet Holmgren's, like Williams. If you want to look at points props in game one, they should be able to flourish if they're running. They have not played a series where they get to run up and down the floor yet. I think that helps the role players on the Thunder because you're thinking less, you're just playing more. I like OKC in game two, especially if they cover game one, because you mentioned the zigzag theory. What is this number in game two? 7, 6.5? If we see Oklahoma City absolutely blow out the Pacers, that's when I think it's a little more interesting to play against the zigzag and play into the OKC Thunder at a little bit cheaper of a number. Look, I don't know how much I'm going to bet on this series, Matt, if I'm being completely transparent. Yeah. I bet a lot on that minus 275 because I really like that price. I don't think that's priced correctly because I think this is a minus 1,000 series after OKC wins game one, which means that I should be paying like minus 340 for that win game one, win the series price. But after that, it's going to be hard for me to really get excited to back this Pacers team at any point, and that makes it hard for me to bet a lot on this series. Again, I do think Williams and Holmgren at home have good numbers from a role player perspective. You want to look at their points totals, but this is going to be one of I think it's going to be a fun series, but not one that I'm going to get overly involved in the betting market outside of that minus 275 price to win game one, win the series on OKC.
Another problem for me is like it's not even an interesting MVP market because I like OKC so much, and it's just it's going to be Shea. It's not like the Pacers where Halliburton's fine distributing the ball, and also like SGA's going to score 30 plus points a game. I mean, like it's just, you know, what can you do?
It is what it is. It's sometimes it's just not a sexy series. Go watch the NHL Finals. That's a sexy series. That one's going to be fun.
Guys, Edge Boost, first ever bank account built for bettors. All your gambling transactions are going to be approved. No usage fees, no minimums, and you can earn cash back. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet. Use the promo code BET. $25 deposit will get you a match as well on that edgeboost.bet.
Set Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready to bet here on Beeson, Matt Brown, and Mike Somich. Still 2-1 Texas and St. Louis. Still 3-1 Boston and Atlanta. Still scoreless over in Baltimore. The White Sox have had runners on every single inning. Mike, this is the trials and tribulations that comes along with betting one of the worst teams in baseball. Is like they've had dudes on every inning and they just can't do anything. So you know it's fine. I bet them. I made the choice to do that. Philly's up 1-0 on Milwaukee. The A's are up 1-0 early on Toronto. Still scoreless, Los Angeles and Cleveland and Colorado. Yes, remember, Mets were minus 440 in that game, Mike. Colorado a 1-0 lead. We are only in the third inning, however.
Now, don't look now. What's the current Mets price?
Oh, let's take a look. See, you saying you want to get involved?
Minus 260, no thank you. I have no interest at minus 260.
Wow, still minus 260. Look at that.
Yeah. That's a big number there if you want to back the Mets right now.
Nobody wants to do that. Like, what's going on? Now, are you positive that you win your bet even if they get it done in the same inning?
I am. I am positive because First team to score, first to three strikeouts, it's all the first two. It's you actually do have to handicap who is batting when, who gets to pitch when. That's why I mentioned specifically when we were talking about this, I get the top half of the inning. It matters. I just need to get to three in the top of the second, top of the third before Birdsong gets there because Birdsong did get to three in the same inning.
He did.
However, I got there in the top half. He got there in the bottom half.
Yeah, it was one of those where I'm like, okay, as long as you're positive because, you know, that was, I was like, oh boy, he had him a good, I mean, he's a high strikeout dude as it is. You know, I mean, he's a high strikeout dude too, because as you mentioned, I mean, he was in the pen. So,
yep.
You know, it's one of those.
That's why you had to say that top half matters, Matt. It matters when you get on the top half or the bottom half.
And as soon as I say Bubic has been like so good with like whatever, he just walked somebody, but it's fine. He's got a strikeout, but he's walked somebody as well. We'll see. But the reason I bring that up is because again, the more pitches you throw, the higher likelihood it is that you come out of the game and then you can't get to the 18 outs because, you know, everyone pulls you at 94 pitches these days, Mike. That's the way it is. Can't go 100
That's
anymore.
That's the rule.
Yeah, can't go 100
can't
anymore.
Can't even go 95.
The analytics say you can't 95. Go 100. You can throw. The best part is like they'll put you back out there and like they'll let you throw six more pitches. But the second you hit like 99, you're like, no, you're out. Mm-hmm. You're done.
Get them.
Doesn't matter what's going on.
We need like the circus size like hook pull to pull them out of there right when they get to 99.
It's so great. All right, guys. Now joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, Colby Dant. Find him over Sports Gambling Podcast Network at the Colby D over on the Twitter machine. Colby, how you doing, man?
I am doing great. How are you guys doing? Appreciate you guys making time for me.
Oh, no, absolutely. Thank you for making time for us, man. College baseball all over the TV right now as people flip it on. And, of course, you can if you're looking for a specific team, by the way, guys, if you go to like ESPN Plus, like there are the games all over the place over there on the streaming network as well. What are you specifically, as we're getting closer to the College World Series, what are you specifically looking for right now in the regionals, if anything?
Well, I mean, I thought this season was going to have extreme parity. And I think you can already tell that by the way, you know, the SEC traditionally is the most powerful conference in college baseball, or at least has been for a while now. And they have not been that great. I think, depending on some of the outcomes that have happening or that are currently happening, I know Kentucky's up big, but they have not been very good compared to what they traditionally are. So I think it's an open field, which I think is great from a gambling point of view. So paying attention to teams that I was high on, some of these mid-majors, you know, once every 8 years, a mid-major wins this thing. I think you go back 40 years. It seems like once every 8 years, it was Coastal Carolina 8 years ago. Prior to that was Fresno State. So looking at some of these teams that I think might have good value, you're seeing East Carolina beating Florida right now. If they can advance, they play Coastal. So one of those teams will be coming out of there in that region there in Conway. But also the Stetson Hatters are a team that I've had my eye on all year. You know, the Cape Cod League is such a big spring, you know, summer league for all these players. The one seed in the whole tournament, Vanderbilt, had the most Cape Cod players. The Stetson actually has the second most. So keeping an eye on those Hatters down there in South Florida, as I think they're a team that could be very sneaky and dangerous in this field.
If you're looking to learn more about the College World Series, you can head over to VSiN.com/CWS. We've got a free College World Series betting guide there. And look, you mentioned the SEC. I've got someone here with me on the desk that absolutely loves LSU. They're one of the perennial powers that we do see in Omaha. What are LSU's chances to make a run this year?
Yeah, I mean, they're probably, I know I'm just kind of, you know, threw some shade on the SEC, but they have been struggling a little bit. But LSU is the team besides, so the team I like most to win is North Carolina. The second would probably be LSU. I love the fact that they have such a edge. Yes, the SEC's had struggles, and we're seeing already within the sport, but don't get it too twisted. You know, that's still the top conference. Them and the ACC, I would say, are battling for that this year. And I like their path. If you see their path, I think, you know, if you pulled the bracket, you can convince yourself with LSU the way, you know, last year was kind of a fixed year because they had won it prior to that. And a lot of that young talent's growing up. So I am very bullish on the LSU Tigers moving forward in this tournament. And North Carolina as well. That's one that I think the best pitching in the entire country. So that's one of the reasons why I have the Tar Heels circled.
Colby, we're having a little bit of a connection trouble with you there, buddy. We will get you back on the program for sure as we head into the College World Series. But again, find his work at the Colby D over on the Twitter machine, as well as the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Mike, I do appreciate you sitting there and pumping up the LSU Tigers a little bit there. I know that was...
You gotta do it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know that was something that it was tough for you to do, I'm sure, as you were, you know, you don't want to give me any credit. Come on, you don't give me any love.
No, I will always, always, always be thankful for the LSU Tiger baseball fans. I got to go to the College World Series when they were there. A buddy of mine who lived in Omaha told me the trick was you buy a T-shirt from each of the schools that make it. And then depending on which group of RVs you are in, you put on the correct T-shirt. And I got to say, LSU took care of us. We were walking around in that Tigers t-shirt, free shots at every single RV we went to. The food was flowing, phenomenal barbecue. Someone brought a big crawfish boil up from Louisiana for the day that we were there, got to have some of that as well. So the hospitality from the LSU baseball fans was phenomenal. Always be grateful for those LSU fans in Omaha.
Scotty Scheffler pars the opening hole. Ben Griffin bogeys the opening hole. Coming back to the field because what did I ask for? Hey, I needed you to fade.
Hey, you needed a little love.
And guess what? Keegan one under on the day. Straka one under on the day. So just need to get one of those guys into second place to win that bet again. Played the winner without market this week. And it's a deal where, Mike, you know, if you listen to us on Long Shots, by the way, wherever your podcast, over on the YouTube channel as well. So the double plug there, you know, if you want to go in and see our faces, you know, in a field also with no Rory, like no one, no, you know, none of the big powerhouses, Scotty on a tough course. It's just very hard. And right. And listen, here's the thing. I understand we want to play these big, sexy tickets and like everybody loves their futures bets, right, Mike? I mean, like everyone wants to talk about, oh, I hit a 75-1, I hit a 60-1, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you know, the difference between the winner without market and then the one with Scotty is like, okay, say you wanted to bet a guy that was like 25, you got like 21 or 20. I understand. You want the four, you want the four extra dollars. I get all of that. But with Scotty Scheffler in the field and his win equity being so incredibly high, I've gotten reserved to the fact that I'll deal with it if my guy wins and I'm not getting the full maximum payout on it, Mike, because for me, I gotta avoid Scotty Scheffler at all costs.
Well, just have a piece of both, right? Yeah. Take 80% of your unit and put it on one, 20 on the other. Go 50-50 if you want to. So you blend the two prices together. Like I was there for the PGA. We were talking about it. I took some DeChambeau, right? At plus 480. After the first round to win the tournament, or after the second round, I'm sorry, to win the tournament without Scotty, he was 7-1. You can't tell me there was that little of a gap when we saw at the end of the tournament. It's a 6-stroke difference between the two. Like Scotty's that much better than everybody right now. If you have that market available to you and you're paying a 10% price, that's not bad, Matt. It's not bad. Like especially when you're talking about 25-21, it's a 10% delta in the cost between the two. So I would at least put a little bit on it. I'm not saying put your full unit there, but at least put a little bit on there so you don't get caught if Scotty wins.
Weathers has gotten us the fourth strikeout. He has only thrown 52 pitches.
One more.
I need one more strikeout in about 40 pitches. Can we get one more K in 40 pitches here, Mike? I mean, like let's get a couple of winners home here early on in the show. And except, you know, Baltimore did put two across on the White Sox. But this is what you get when you bet the White Sox. I mean, what you get when you're betting the White Sox. Like, I mean, that's the reason they were plus 150, right?
Well, let's keep things rolling down there in San Francisco or in Florida as well. We got the under four first five, just 1-0 right now, bottom of the third.
When we come back, we'll head over to the track. We'll head to the ice. We'll get us some hockey and some horses picks here on Ready, Set, Bet.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, Matt Brown and Mike Somich. Mike, if you want to go sign up, and everybody out there listening, you sign up for your 2026 Masters tickets just to get that email to tell you that you didn't get picked again for the 25th year in a row.
Can't wait.
Yeah, so you can go
looking forward to it.
Sign up just so you can get that email and say, sorry, your selection was not picked this year. And it's like, oh, that's 26 years in a row. That's funny.
Yeah, I've been rejected by the Masters more than I've been rejected by anything in my life.
It is. And thing is it's everyone gets the emails on the same day. And like on Twitter, everybody posts their rejection thing because it's just like everybody gets rejected. I want to know who gets the tickets. Who actually wins this? Because the same people every year, everybody getting rejected.
Aren't you surprised that you don't get more like I got tickets on Twitter too? You'd think like people are posting like their future tickets for the Indiana Pacers. They're all excited about 30-1. Getting tickets to the Masters is a lot better than 30-1 on a future number. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no one gets them. That's why. That's what it is. It's like it's a big game. They laugh about it over there in Augusta every year. They're like,
people We demand proof that someone actually wins the lottery.
People think they're getting tickets. They are not getting tickets. Like we'd let the poors in. No way. We're never letting the poors in. Okay. We have a newsletter. It's absolutely free. Go in, sign up. And when you do, Bill AD will sometimes give you free picks in there. See, Mackinnon runs simulations for all of the NASCAR races. And so what we've done here on Sundays on the show, we've made it a little tradition of ours, is to go out and spoil his picks. We're going to give them to you every single Sunday here. So he's run his simulations for the Cracker Barrel 400 over in Nashville. The top five winners, according to his simulations, Hamlin, Reddick, Bell, Briscoe, and Elliott. So again, Hamlin, Reddick, Bell, Briscoe, and Elliott. Some underdogs that won a few different times in his simulations: Briscoe, Wallace, Allmendinger, and Gibbs. So again, if you want a longer shot there, Briscoe, Wallace, Allmendinger, and Gibbs. And some of the favorites with shorter numbers that did not win all that much in those simulations: Blaney, Bowman, Buescher, and Busch. Wow, fading the bees apparently this week, even though that's all I bet here. My Blaney, Bowman, Buescher, and Busch, all of which are expected to struggle, at least according to Steve Mackinnon's simulations here in the Cracker Barrel 400 over in Nashville. I did look at this. I guess this is a fairly new track, and so we've only seen like three or four races over there in this one, Mike.
Yeah, you got to get Briscoe in your count, man. You're fading four bees.
Yeah.
You've got two bees in the top five, and Briscoe is an underdog to consider. Feels like this has to be a Briscoe bet from you. Allmendinger top five. Allmendinger in Nashville. That's a solid combination there. If I'm playing names, I'm playing Allmendinger here top five.
See, I like this because I do it in horses. We can also do it. And yeah, if you think about it, auto racing is kind of just powered horse racing.
I'm going to disagree.
I mean,
horses go up and down. There's trends. There's certain angles that you can play. That's not the same thing with these cars, Matt.
What do you mean? I'm sure these guys go up and down, and like, you know, one of your pit crew members gets hurt and you have to put in like the guy who's been like sweeping the floors and stuff. And like now, next thing you know, he can't change the tire near as fast. And now you're 0.2 seconds behind.
You don't have moves up and drops in class. You don't have second off a layoff. There's not logical reasons that the car is going to magically get better one week into another week. No, it's much better in my mind if you're looking at the horse racing side.
Okay, so we're looking. So Bell is 7-1. Briscoe's 14. So we're going to go the longer one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going
to go. He's the long shot underdog to consider. It makes more sense, right? Yeah,
we're going to go the long. And then Allmendinger is 60. We got to get one. Woo. We got to get an Allmendinger in there.
Yeah, Allmendinger top five. What's that number there?
Yeah, I mean, do you want me to get you some Allmendinger love here?
Yeah, what's the top five number? Am I getting 7-1 somewhere in that range?
Hold on, I got to put these bets in to make sure I don't forget, because this is what happens. We talk about bets and then we go on break and then we like are looking ahead to the next segment and we forget to put the actual bets in, so we can't do that. Yeah, so let's take a look here and Are they really not offering the... there we go. Okay, so top five on Allmendinger?
Yeah, looking for seven.
Seven to one. You want a 7-1?
It's like I know how to price things or something.
You want a 7-1? Here, we'll give you a 7-1.
Yeah, I'll take a little piece. I'll take a slice.
There we go. We'll give you a little 7-1. Allmendinger top five. So there's our bets. And look at that. Just like that. We have some NASCAR bets. We have additional sweats, Mike. So additional sweats are fun. As we do... Actually, we can't say this each and every single, because guess what? This is running short. So we're gonna have to amend this segment. We're gonna have to do something else. We're gonna have to amend this segment. No more pucks and ponies. It's just gonna be ponies, but at least for one more show. Let's head to the ice.
Technical regulations size or what? It's time to ask Mike Somich. What the
Don't you ever touch my puck?
All right, Mike. Maybe never do this again. It may never happen.
But we're definitely going to do this again. What are you talking about? Game one is on Wednesday. We'll have a game next weekend.
Well, you might not have any picks. Are you just going to invent picks? What if you don't like what's going on?
We're digging a little more here. We're going to have we usually have two plays a day, right? And now 2 days in a row, we have to talk about this series. However, I got to talk about the full series. Let's talk about game one now. Let's fast forward to game one.
Okay.
You're on Wednesday night. I like the Panthers. If I like the Panthers, I'm going to look for interesting ways to bet the Panthers. Game one here is in Edmonton, but I still think the Panthers able to control the pace of this game early. Give me the Panthers first period plus 110 to keep that in mind. And I do think the Panthers also able to get a lot of shots on goal against this Edmonton defense. We saw against a Dallas team, Edmonton was able to keep the shots to the outside. So how do you play a prop if you know the shots coming from the outside? Well, usually that means they get it through and the goalie makes saves. Six Stuart Skinner over 24 and a half saves based on the way we've seen Dallas play, or we've seen Edmonton play defense. That should allow more shots on goal for a Panthers team that likes to cycle the puck and keep offensive zone pressure going anyway. I think all of that fits into the Panthers getting a lot of shots on goal and Stuart Skinner making a lot of saves because they're not going to be high probability goal chances. They're going to be shots from the board, shots from the blue line. All of that leads to more saves for Skinner. So we'll go over his 24 and a half save prop.
What about what are we looking on the Panther side from a first period standpoint?
Yeah, look, this is, again, this is a money line bet. Mm-hmm. The most likely situation here is it's 1-1 or 0-0 after mm-hmm. the first. But if someone is in the lead, I do think it is Florida who's able to take it to this Edmonton team early. This is Panthers team is built on getting out, getting leads, being aggressive, pinning teams in their own zone. And you're getting a plus money price on this because the game is in Edmonton. A lot of times this game, one of the series, you see the home team come out and play well early on. Florida's consistently been able to keep other teams off the scoreboard in these situations. I think they're able to do it again. Then the question is, can they get one in the last 10 minutes of the period? So we'll go Panthers plus 110 money line first period on Wednesday.
Before we head over to the track here, Mike, I wanted to let everyone know that the Colorado Rockies one run lead, that it was the first lead they had had at the end of an inning since last Sunday, is no longer. Three run home run, Pete Alonso. We're back to 3-1 in favor.
Back to normal.
Back to 3-1 in favor of the Mets here again. Minus 440 favorites there in that game. Let's head to the track.
Saddle up, partner. Want to bet the horses with Mike Somich?
When I bet on horses, I never lose. Why? I bet on all the horses.
It's time to pony up.
Giddy up.
Oh, I like this segment more and more now because I just keep winning. I just keep putting in the bets and they just keep hitting. So let's go ahead. So Gulfstream today.
Gulfstream today. Yeah, we keep hitting the board, not giving out winners, but that helps you for your trifecta, especially when you sprinkle some prices around there, which you're able to do yesterday at Churchill Downs. Today, we're heading to Gulfstream Park, and this is going to be a live sweat as well, Matt. We are just 23 minutes away from the fifth race at Gulfstream Park, and that's where the first pick of the day is going to come from. We're going to the number 7 horse, Back to Gridlock, currently 5-2 on the live line, 3-1 on the morning line. This is a horse that was in the Chad Brown barn, switches barns over into Colin Mirage. He gets one of his family members to ride here, who rode the horse last time, sprinting, going 5 furlongs. Today, we are stretching out. We're going a mile. I think the 7 Back to Gridlock gets to the front and able to go gate to wire against the field without a ton of pace here at Gulfstream Park for a horse which no problem stretching out to that mile space. So Gulfstream race number 5, number 7, Back to Gridlock, Matt. Who are you putting around this one?
I mean, this race is terrible.
It's not a great trifecta race. You're correct.
No, it's not a great anything race. 5-2, 7-2, 7-1, 7-2, 9-2, and yours is down to 5-2 now. So
here's what you do, Matt. You put in a trifecta for $5.
I'm putting in a superfecta. 7. I'm just winning. If I'm going to win, I'm just going to win.
All right. Superfecta, 7 with 234, 234, 234. For $5, it costs you $30. And then we will go ahead, as Matt puts that in, since it's not wonderful radio to watch him put it in, we'll go ahead and we'll go to race number 9 today. We'll go to the number 6 horse, Accelerate Me, 3-1 on the morning line here for the number 6 horse. This is a horse that's run twice over the turf course at a similar level and now switching over the synthetic. Wanted to come from off the pace. You can't do that over Gulfstream Park's turf course. You can do that over Gulfstream Park's synthetic course. The horse is bred to be better on synthetic than on a turf course. So we're going to go with the number 6, Accelerate Me, 3-1, coming from off the pace to close out the Gulfstream card in Gulfstream race number 9.
You want to bet these along with Mike? Firstbet.com is the place to do it. 1stbet.com. Use the promo code VEASAN200 and get up to $200 in sign-up bonus over there. Again, firstbet.com, 1stbet.com.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
is Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Matt Brown and Mike Somich, and cash another one for us here, despite giving up four earned. Weathers did get his fifth strikeout, so the over 4.5. So your race to three cashes, the over 4.5 cashes. So he did his part for what we needed him to do, unless you're a Marlins fan and then, like, you know, you're losing badly.
Well, also under four first five there, so I don't appreciate the four runs that he gave up. So we need a zero inning there for the push there. I need some runs in Boston and whoever the heck they're playing, Atlanta, because that's starting to get frustrating. We had four in the first. We need four more for the rest of the game. They've not scored, and we're in the bottom of the fifth now, Matt.
Yes.
What are we doing here?
This nada, no good. In that Angels and Guardians game, hopefully you listen to the handicap of that one, because so you're getting the Gavin Williams, like we said. It's like, so still can't throw to the place. He's walked two through four innings, but he struck out three, and he's like, no, he's throwing a no-hitter. But he's up to 60 pitches because he does strike out dudes and he walks guys. So he's up to 60 pitches, Mike, through four innings, but no hitter so far against this Angels team.
Yeah, I don't think that he is going to end up going the complete way because of those pitches, Matt. So I'd be shocked if we get the full on no hitter there. We need one more half inning here from our boy Holmes for the Mets to be able to get through the fifth and be in line for that win. Minus 150. We talked about that being the way to play against the Rockies today.
Yeah, so far so good, I think, on the majority of these. News coming through, though, that Christian Yelich had to exit the game there for the Brewers. So, again, never any good. Christian Yelich, he's not as bad as Mike Trout, but it's same deal. Like, in and out of the lineup, produces when he's in there, can't stay in the lineup, just kind of is what it is, right? I mean, like, you've got a guy that is infinitely talented, but I don't like to use injury prone, Mike, but susceptible.
Look,
to injury. How about that?
With him and Trout, it's a question of when the injury happens, not if the injury happens, right?
Yeah.
He's a when guy.
Yeah. All right, guys, it's always draft season here on the show. More and more NFL markets showing up all over the place. I mean, seriously, like, they are just popping up left and right. And some of the basic ones out there that we can really go at, we don't think that this is, our opinion is going to change too drastically much, Mike, between now and the time the season starts, is the rushing leader in the NFL. I went first last time, therefore you get the first overall pick. We do snake fashion, so I will get two and three. I can only imagine you're going Chalk City here. I would as well.
Well, this is the frustrating part. Look, I wish I had the passing yards first pick, because I would have gone Chalk City with Burrow, who you took. I'm going to take the better price of the two that are obviously going to be first and second in rushing. Give me Derrick Henry here plus 350 instead of Saquon Barkley plus 250. I want the better price. And I think we're not predicting injuries. We don't want anyone to get hurt. But if someone got hurt of these two guys, which one do you think is more likely? I think it's exponentially more likely that Saquon Barkley gets hurt than Derrick Henry gets hurt. So I'll take the better price on one of the two guys that you have to take with the first pick. It has to be Henry, or it has to be Barkley. Now you can go ahead and take Barkley with the second pick.
Just go ahead and say it, because Derrick Henry is just a beast of a man.
The truck.
And he's just a beast of a man. And you think that he's going to be able to do whatever. Yeah. Saquon for me then at plus 250 to lead the league in rushing yards. Again, he is the most talented back in the league currently. And, you know, you look at what's going on, Mike, the opportunities I think are going to continue to be there. It is a big thing. We talked about this from a betting perspective. Like, everybody was just kind of giving their opinion and barking about the tush push stuff. But from a market like this, you get extra snaps. You get extra down, like, drives keep going. And so, like, more opportunity for Saquon Barkley. Like, it does affect betting markets from this Eagles standpoint. It's more than just, like, whether we think it's fair or not, or whether we think it makes sense or not. The more chances that we have for Barkley to run the ball, the better. And if they continue to convert these short third and fourths over and over and over and over again, then we just get more of an opportunity.
Yeah, you're getting more touches, and every one of those touches matter. So I agree with you. I think it makes a big difference if you're able to get those fourth and ones. It also changes the play calling.
Mm-hmm.
You know who's really likely to run the football on third and three? Philly, because they can go for it on fourth and one, right? Like, it's adjust the play calling earlier in the down set as well, which all benefits Saquon.
So I'm going to go down the board here, because I have a bad feeling that if I give you two back-to-back picks, you're going to take him, and so I can't do it. I can't allow you the opportunity to do that. I'm going to take Ashton Jeanty at 18-1. I don't know if you were going to go there or not, but there is a very high likelihood that he is in the top five in the NFL in carries. He might be in the top three in the NFL in carries when it's all said and done. They invested in the offense, and he is a dude that we know Pete Carroll loves to run the football. They got a decent little offensive line, actually. It's not the worst, and I think that he is going to get all the load he can carry, a true three down back for that Raiders team. And so 18-1 Ashton Jeanty for me to lead the league in rushing.
I don't hate it. I wouldn't have taken him, okay. But I don't disagree with the handicap and how you were getting to that number. Yeah. I thought that the clear third pick was Jonathan Taylor. So I'll take Jonathan Taylor okay. at plus 10-1 here. Look, he played 14 games, had 1400 yards rushing last year. The only one that was even close to the top two in a yards per game perspective. If he's able to go 17, I think he has a shot at being able to be right there with the top two guys. So I'll take Jonathan Taylor, who I think has a little bit of value there. And then I would have been between these two.
Okay.
I would have been between Ashton Jeanty and Bucky Irving, mm-hmm. and I probably would have gone Bucky Irving, who I just so explosive as a rookie. Now you get second year, you're getting 20-1 on him to get most rushing yards. I wouldn't actually bet this, Matt. I wouldn't bet anyone outside the top two, if I'm being honest, in this market. But I do think that someone like Bucky Irving has an opportunity, if you do see injuries at the top, to be able to make a splash and just rack up the yards, because he can make a big play happen in a second. So Bucky Irving 20-1 here for me with the fifth pick.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a dude that, like you said, I don't know if I would actually truly bet this with my money, but I can talk to you why I think that Bijan Robinson at 12-1 at least somewhat makes sense. And it is because, hey, look, this offense cannot be worse than it was under Kirk Cousins last year. He was obviously injured, obviously something wrong with his shoulder. Dude couldn't get anything done whatsoever. If anything, we're talking about opportunities, and why I would, you know, I'm talking about Jeanty from an opportunity standpoint as well with Saquon Barkley. This offense has to be better. It has to move the field. It's in a super weak division as well. I think Bijan with Penix under center has a better chance to, and by the way, a really good offensive line. That's the other thing we didn't really even understand last year, because Kirk Cousins was just so bad, but this was a good offensive line and is a good offensive line for Atlanta. So give me Bijan at 12-1. I think there is a world that exists where he could have his name in the conversation.
I don't hate it. Like, he's going to get a bunch of totes there, and they're going to be ahead in a lot of games inside that division. So I do think Bijan's in play.
The other one here for me, and now we're just going to kind of go by process of elimination, because you need RB1s that don't have a ton of competition or whatever. So I'll take Josh Jacobs at 16-1. I think Josh Jacobs could probably fall off a cliff this year. He's kind of getting up there in age. He's gotten a lot of totes. He's got a lot of wear and tear on the body. But again, as we sit right now, very little competition for carries. And so opportunity wins in a game like this. And so Jacobs was 16-1, though. Don't love it.
I will take the guy that I took last year in this draft. Give me Kyren Williams at 25-1. He was awesome 2 years ago. He struggled with injuries last year, was banged up, still ended up doing fairly well. You can see him there. It's number 7 with 16 games, ended up with right around 1,300 yards. He's out there, and the carry numbers fit for him. He had 316 mm-hmm. carries in 16 games last year. 345 was Saquon's number. So you are getting close to the number of carries. The question is, can you be a little bit more explosive with them? I think the Rams are going to be good. I think you're going to get opportunities. So Kyren Williams there, 25-1. And then I will go absolutely crazy. Mm-hmm. Give me Najee Harris at 80-1. He's going to the Chargers. They want to run the football. I think they're going to be heading a lot of games. Maybe you get enough carries from Najee here to be able to lead the NFL 80-1.
Yeah, see, I was actually going to go Amari and Hampton with the same logic, that maybe he just wins the gig and then, you know, whatever. So here's there's a world where I want to take Judkins, but the Browns are going to be so bad that I don't think he's going to get enough carries.
I don't think he can.
Yeah, like, I don't think he's going to get enough carries there. So I will do it.
Thing with Breece Hall.
Yeah. I'll go Amari and Hampton. And maybe he wins the job and just takes it outright and just runs with it. No pun intended, or pun intended, however you want to look at it, and gets it done. 50-1 on Hampton. If the job was definitely his number would be way shorter. So, you know, maybe mm-hmm. he wins the job, maybe he wins the gig, and maybe they decide to go with one back. So I'll take Hampton at 50-1.
Yeah. I don't hate it. Yeah. How many on this list would you bet with your own money?
I would bet Barkley, Henry, Taylor and actually, I think Jenty, again, there is a world that exists where I think Jenty's in the discussion. So I would probably bet the first, our first four picks probably.
I would only bet the first three. I get the handicap on Jenty. I don't think he's that good. I'm just not as in on Jenty as other people. And it's a lot to ask to lead the league in rushing.
It is. And I just, you know, for me, he's a dude that is going to get the opportunity. So we can bet on stuff like that. Hour number three when we come back.